Need a bit just to get things rolling. It's one way of looking at the first noble truth from Ken Wilber. The movement of descent and discovery begins at the moment you consciously become dissatisfied with life. Different than what they taught us. The movement of descent and discovery begins at the moment you consciously become dissatisfied with life. Contrary to most professional opinion, this gnawing dissatisfaction with life is not a sign of mental illness, nor an indication of poor social adjustment, nor a character disorder. For concealed within this basic unhappiness with life and existence is the embryo of a growing intelligence, a special intelligence usually buried under the immense weight of social shams. A person who is beginning to sense the suffering of life is, at the same time, beginning to awaken to deeper realities, truer realities. For suffering smashes to pieces the complacency of our normal fictions about reality and forces us to become alive in a special sense, to see carefully, to feel deeply, to touch ourselves and our worlds in ways we have heretofore avoided. To see carefully, to feel deeply, to touch ourselves and our worlds in ways we have heretofore avoided. It has been said, and I truly think, that suffering is the first grace. In a special sense, suffering is almost a time of rejoicing, for it marks the birth of creative insight. But only in a special sense. Some people cling to their suffering as a mother to its child, carrying it as a burden they dare not set down. They do not face suffering with awareness. This only applies to people who have enough food to eat. It's a very middle class way of talking about suffering, if you think about it. If you apply that to East Kenya now, it would be, you know, disgusting thing to kind of even consider. So it's in the reflective teachings, they're not absolute things. You can say to some starving person, oh, this is a, you know, it's a time to rejoice. And they should shoot you. So you know, that's as always, these are reflective spiritual things that are not absolute philosophies. But you see that when, like you know, you're suffering, and then you just get lost in your suffering. You're kind of thinking, well, why am I suffering? But actually, you're facing with awareness, kind of waking up to it. Anyway, and what else we got here, ladies and gentlemen? The moment the reflex to be an individual, the moment the reflex to be an individual entity dies, you live in the present from moment to moment. You go back to the past because you have learned certain things from the past. This we call functional memory. But you don't go back to the past to retain the I, the me. Generally, our daydreaming, our thinking, is from past to future. We are living in a becoming process. We believe we are something. It is quite beautiful when you live in the present. Memory is there, but not psychological memory, not the desire to be somebody. You have moments in daily life when you are so, when you don't go back to the past, when you don't create the future. You know these moments. So now it's Saturday, tomorrow you're leaving, you know, look at the mind just becoming. Where am I? You know that? And then there's the knowing. And that's what you just want to return to. But notice how difficult that is. But what else did it do, right? I mean, you're still going to go there. You're not going to stay here. But you'll always be here. It's a paradox. So we have this last complete day together. First, last, these are just conventions. And then but the training is always the same. This is a thought about the future, and it feels this way now. So you're not rejecting that, you're not repressing that, but you're just awakening. Just awakening, awakening, awakening. All right, let's do some sitting.